There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
I'm a product of a recent breakup, so I've lost everything in my home. The only thing I have is, like, I have a John Wayne Gacy painting, and I have a bed.
Yeah.
She didn't take the painting, though.
Isn't that strange? She didn't want to be reminded of you.
No.
Let's see here. So should we just kick off the show?
Let's kick it off.
All right. Welcome to the show, everyone. This is the last podcast on the left interview series.
Yeah.
The beginning of hopefully more interviews to come. Obviously, Marcus is here. Henry is here. I am Ben. And today we're going to be interviewing Lawrence R. Harvey, the star of Human Centipede 2 and the most recent star of Human Centipede 3.
Yes!
Yes.
Yes! I'm so happy you're here.
You understand, as another like short, fat actor, you are... an inspiration.
Yes.
It's what, yeah, I want to be you, man.
Henry has modeled his career and diet after you.
You could be one modern day Peter Lorre, you know.
Yeah. Man, you are really similar to Peter Lorre. That's really cool. That's all. Again, thank you so much for joining us today. My question is, all right, so first question I had, is the story that I had heard about your audition for Human Centipede. For Human Centipede 2 that you had to rape a chair?
No, I chose to rape a chair.
Oh, aggressive choices. I like it.
Tom wants me to play certain scenes, and they were getting more and more extreme. And then he said, show us how you would do the rape scene, or would you like to attempt the rape scene? I said, yep, sure, why not? And then, because I come from a performance art background in which we often use kind of inanimate objects as kind of stand-ins for people.
Right.
I just flipped this chair over, it's about the right height, and it's not as embarrassing as thrusting into thin air, so I went for it.
That's awesome.
It's a lucky chair. You know, so, a lot of chairs just wake up and they're like, well, I'm going to work today and hopefully somebody has sex with me. And this chair had its dream come true, which is amazing.
That's how I start every day.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have a performance arts background. Did you ever expect to become such an iconic character in this niche market about ass-to-mouth horror movies?
Well, honestly, because we talked about after Human Centipede 2 is that, like, you became an immediate sort of horror, like, it's an immediate horror character you can recognize.
Yeah.
Martin was awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, I always, I kind of thought I'd be more in kind of more artsy kind of productions, but... I took on the Human Centipede 2 because I liked Tom when I met him, and he had a range of different references, including some art house references like Saulo and so on. And I do think that the Human Centipede 2 is an artsy film. In a more kind of undergroundy way, like Eraserhead or Thundercrack or something like that, you know. So it's
About it. When I first saw it, the first thing that popped into my head was that it is a commentary on horror movies in general. That people, they think this idea that people that watch horror are maniacs.
Right.
And that they watch it, and that they'll as soon as they see somebody get killed on screen, they're going to go kill somebody out in real life. And it seems like a satire of that.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly attacks that kind of cause and effect argument, I think. And I think the grossness of Human Centipede 2 is a way to kind of show how ridiculous that idea is, I think.
Right.
Okay, so you started doing performing arts, so you were a theater person. So performance arts, so you were...
I come from a fine art background.
That's amazing. So how did you decide to jump from doing theater to film?
From was it just art to film?
Well, explain to me. What's the difference then?
Well, I started out as a painter.
Okay.
And then was kind of influenced by people like Spalding Gray and Laurie Anderson and so on, and then started doing kind of art performances in galleries and so on. And then artists that I was working with started doing characters for children's TV. So then I got into children's TV.
Perfect.
In the mid-90s, just after I left college. And then from there, I then got an agent, and then I started doing theatre and short films. And then, like, you know, a decade later, I'm doing The Human Centipede 2.
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I understand. I feel like that is what's happened to my career as well. At one point, I was doing, I did a couple of commercials just because I have big tits, like, on my body. Yeah. And it was like I walked into a room and the idea is that my body was painted and then I lift my tits, but there's a hole underneath the tits. And so when I walked in and I had the biggest tits in the room, I right. felt like a pretty lady for the first time.
It must be nice, Lawrence, to get interviewed by somebody who, you know, who has a more controversial career than your own, which is really nice. That's incredible. So Martin was such an iconic character. The way that you were able to, the way you pulled off the kills, you just remembered the look, the image. What were you thinking going into that character to make him stand out and make him so memorable? In the way that, like, you know, Jason, when you see Jason walking, you know it's Jason, Michael Myers, you really put yourself in that level of transform physically into a very horrific character.
Yeah, well, I mean, because of the casting, Tom had said he didn't want Martin to talk very much. I ended up not talking, and then Tom reworked the script, so there was no dialogue in it. And so I started approaching Martin as trying to have a weight to him, and then a kind of in order to have this, like, little guy kill these people, you have to kind of make him somehow threatening and a presence. So therefore I used stillness, and I was thinking about Martin as a kind of this immovable force, or mm-hmm. you know, so he's the Terminator in his own way. a chubby little Terminator. There's no stopping him. He's once he's got an idea in his head, he's going to go for it, you know?
Right, right.
Are you happy now doing as... Because I'm sure that Human Centipede now has opened the doors to all these other horror films that you're doing now. Like, mm-hmm. like looking at your list, it seems, you know, because you also worked on a film that will be coming out at some point, probably in 2016, Frankenstein Created Bikers, made for the makers of Dear God No, which was awesome. Yeah. But are you happy now being in the genre? Like, because once horror gets you, it's like they keep you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm happy. Well, you know, the genre's always been one of my favorites anyway. So I kind of grew up with it and so on. So I'm happy with that. But I'd like to do stuff outside of the genre as well.
Yeah.
You know, the first film I did after Human Centipede 2 was a documentary about the artist Stuart Sherman called Spectacle. I mean, it's my friend Robin Deacon directed the documentary. And then, the rest of it has just been based on who's interesting to work with that I've met. And you know, luckily, I've been asked to do some great films by people that I find interesting, like Astron 6, like the Dear God No guys, you know. Even though Dear God No is like a bullets and boobs and gore kind of thing, the guys there really care about film and care about film culture. And James is just such a brilliant... you can talk to him about any aspect of film. He's a big Bergman fan, and he's a big... sex cinema of the 70s fan, you know, so...
But I feel like it's a range. Yeah, if you're a fan of Grindhouse, because that's what Dear God No is. Dear God No is just a perfectly made homage to Grindhouse films.
Yeah.
And they all kind of have to have a background in understanding a lot of different type of film, because it's all referential.
Yeah.
This is another sort of question. All right, on set for something like Human Centipede 2, How like, even also, like, in the sequence in Human Centipede 3, when they're all outside, you know, when it's finally revealed and they're all out there, what is what is the temperament on set? Like, is it tense, or is it like, or are they well taken care of? Like the people in the Centipede, or you know, like how are they taken care of? Like, what is it like being with a bunch of people who are ass to mouth for hours?
Yeah.
Tom tries to keep things light on set anyway. So he's always kind of, you know, he's not intense. He's light and chatty and tries to keep things fun. And also, the people in the Centipede are only in the Centipede for as long as necessary. As soon as we can get them out, they're out, you know. So if the shot only shows a certain section of the Centipede, it's only that section that's going to be in there.
Okay, yeah, he's not like, the entire sequence must be there.
Right.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, so...
That's amazing.
You saw it suffer.
Because I kept thinking about that. It was just like, because then Human Centipede 3, of course, the chain is, it's 500 long?
Yeah.
And it's quite impressive when you see it in the big wide shot, which I get, that's the goal. And I was just thinking about it. It's like, man, I just need just being a big man, just strapped to the ass of another big man for like 6 hours. I'll just be like...
But enough about your sexual fantasies.
Yeah, exactly.
I was rock hard the entire time.
I don't know how you were able to be on set and not get fully aroused, Lawrence. That is some hot stuff. There's no doubt about that. That's amazing. How was it working with Brie Olsen? She was a porn star there. She was.
We had that sad thing where you both were like, I know that woman.
We're like, no, we don't know her.
I was unaware of her, shall we say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was the only one on set that didn't know she was a porn star.
And they're all, because they're all like, Miss Olsen. Yeah, yeah.
Else was a bit sweaty and a bit too attentive.
But in part three, you played a different character. And, you know, as Martin didn't speak in part three, your character spoke quite often. Would you like to bring Martin back in a future movie?
Well, I really enjoyed playing Martin. And if Tom had the idea to... do something with Martin, further with Martin, I'd be up for it. But I think Tom's now he's got his Centipede of Centipede films. I think that's going to be it for now. So
It's not one of those winky winky we're at the end of this type thing, like, oh, and then all of a sudden we're going to get a Human Centipede 4 with
Martin
like...
Takes Manhattan.
Ooh, that would be amazing.
I mean, that's one of the things that I love about your performance in Human Centipede 2 is that you look like you're having so much fun. Specifically when the laxatives work.
And because you're saying, it looks like you're directing a symphony when everybody starts shitting.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I was kind of stood there and doing this, and then Tom says, right, blow a raspberry. It's like, what? Blow a raspberry? And it's like, oh, right, okay. Here I am, I've trod on the stage of the National Theatre, and I've performed in galleries throughout and festivals throughout Europe and America. Now I'm here blowing raspberries to shitting people. but the scene works, so yeah,
It really does. I remember being truly, because we watched it, and we did, we our review of it, what we did to review it was just watch it, and it was just us going like, oh!
Yeah, and Ben's roommate actually yells like, it sounds like y'all are fucking out there!
Yeah, he doesn't know what sex sounds like. It should never sound like people watching Human Centipede 2, I'll tell you that. You're doing something wrong if your sex sounds like that. What's the poop made of? There's so much poop in these movies. There must be a big poop budget.
On two, because we had this girl who was a vegan who only ate dried food, not cooked food.
Really? Is she a Pomeranian?
That's a dog, isn't it?
Yeah.
she made this kind of concoction of like hazelnut spread and...
Ooh, Lord.
It was various kind of nuts and chocolates and
Kind of sounds very good, cream. Actually.
It was good. Yeah, it was good.
So. Yeah, because
everyone kept eating it, you know.
So actors were getting in trouble for digging into the poop?
Yeah, where's the poop? We need to make more poop.
What would you guys... But so again, like on set, would you say it like the feces? Were they trying to be nice? Or was it just being like we need more shit?
No, actually, shit.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
And when the laxative works and it goes through the last girl, the actress Emma... When it goes through the last actress Emma, the special effects guy had this kind of cannon effect. So it had this cannon next to her, like underneath her, and it goes splat against the wall.
Yeah,
and that was the shit cannon. So everything was called the shit something.
That's great.
Where's the tub of shit? Where's the shit spoon? Where's the
Yeah, I mean, at some point you must get fairly desensitized to the work that you're doing, and everything just becomes normal—the shit cannon and all those things.
Yeah, well, you know, also we had a great DOP who, whenever I was before the camera, he'd always say, "Put a little bit more shit round his mouth, please."
Just very super polite.
I'm sorry, but if you can have just a bit about his lips, that'd be great.
If you could eat somebody's shit, whose shit would you eat?
This has been Henry's big question that he's been sitting on. I'm surprised you waited this long to ask it, Henry. Who's your idol?
This is my teen beat. This is my teen beat question for you.
If you could eat someone's shit, who would it be?
Only if they I'd eat my girlfriend's shit if she shat golden nuggets.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. That's a perfect really answer.
That's really beautiful. And she's just off camera. She's like, thank you. Thank you so much for saying that. How was working with Dieter Laser? And he gets quite dramatic in Human Centipede 3.
What was happening in Human Centipede 3? What was his direction for his character?
Bigger.
Yeah. Oh, you could tell that. It was definitely bigger.
That was it. Tom, as he did with me during part two, Tom worked out a lot of the character with Dieter before we arrived on set, kind of thing. So Dieter had this all kind of worked out, which, like, every single scene or how he was going to perform every scene. And it was basically like this force of nature going through.
Yes, I can, like, because I've been in things like that where you watch them and I was like, they are all just getting out of Dieter's way. It's like, here comes Dieter. I was just like, as soon as he walked in, I was like, all right, here he comes.
But as you go through the scenes, you see that it's like a tag. We're like a tag team. Everybody's acting styles against Dieter's is. One person comes in, you know, Eric Roberts versus Dieter, Sado versus Dieter, then me versus Dieter.
Honestly, you come out great in that movie. Like a really good, like in terms of like, you know, we always get our fun looks when I have to be like, it's like, he is the emotional center of Human Centipede 3. And he's just like, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a, 3 was a very, very, very fun movie, for sure. Different. Yeah,
a lot of castration.
A lot of castration in part
castrate
3.
Castrate them!
Yeah, if you only see one laugh-along film about male castration and this year, go see Human Centipede 3.
That's the tag. That was pretty funny. I will tell you, though, I could have done with another scene of him cutting somebody's balls off.
Yeah.
We were cheering pretty hard when he cut that man's balls off. That was pretty good. But that's what we're looking for. This is your audience.
It was such a great, gross close-up as well, you know.
So funny.
It was perfect. And then, of course, what were the... There's an edible thing in Human Centipede 3 that I believe it's supposed to be female clitorises.
Pickled clitorises.
What were the clitorises?
Yeah, what were they made of?
The clitorises. They were shipped in from Africa. It's what tribal leaders eat. It's what's left from female genital mutilation.
Great. So. Yeah, so you guys, that's great. You know what? I like to see that. It's the realism. I think that's really important. People fake shit nowadays, and that makes me really upset. Yeah.
I was reading, I'm from Wisconsin, and I was reading in an interview. Thank you so much. I got out. Thank you so much. But I read that you don't like cheese.
Read what?
That you don't like to eat cheese.
No, I hate it.
This is very controversial. I'm upset over here.
Literally,
do you have a question or are you just berating?
I'm not berating. What's wrong with cheese?
Well, it's rancid milk. It smells like Satan's cock yogurt. It's horrible. It's evil.
Evil.
I've been to America many times. They don't have cheese. They're what? The plastic that they chuck on top of burgers. That's not cheese.
It's a country built on cheese.
France is a country built on cheese. Holland's a country built on cheese. America.
Yeah. You are cutting deep.
No, we're built on the blood of the people we found here.
I see.
Cutting cheese to you. So.
Has been awesome.
Yeah.
By the way, I just want to say
What projects do you are you working on right now that you're really inspired by?
I just want to shoot Redacted. It's only a short, but it's with Tristan Risk again.
Okay.
He's also in Frankenstein Creator Bikers.
She's awesome.
She's great. Yeah. So, I loved her as Beatrice in American Mary. We've just, this will be our fifth time working together.
Yeah.
Because we did a show called Call Girl. It was our first time together. And then ABC's The Death 2. Mm. And then we both shot Ulu Lamel's new film, The Bogeyman Reincarnation. It's a restarting of the Bogeyman franchise.
And how with we have a last podcast on the left here, obviously we have some very, very fun fans and some outgoing fans. Has there been any interesting experiences, especially in the horror genre, when you're a celebrity in this genre, you meet some of the more interesting people on
emotionally
Earth.
Disturbed people is what we're trying to say.
I have a pretty famous fan online who is just, well, a stalker basically.
Yeah.
He's,
yeah.
Stalker Australia. He's if anybody's on Facebook or Twitter, they know who he is. So I'm not going to give him any publicity.
No, don't give him publicity. But you can flip this guy to run your website or something. That's kind of the idea. That's what you have to do to get. That's what you have to employ these people.
Yeah, but he'll just make it all about his sexual fantasies of eating my Snickers.
Oh, I see.
Feeding me KFC on a bed at night or something.
Right. So you've got your own Martin.
He is very much a Martin, yeah.
Life imitates art, right?
I thought Martin was just an imaginary figure, and then, one turns up. For real.
I feel like it's a lot when we research this stuff all the time. It's like all of these characters are real. It's like, just serial killers alone. You know what I mean? You forget that they're walking around. And at one point, Richard Ramirez was just a guy who was like a regular at a convenience store.
Do you enjoy researching any true crime or serial killers like that? I would love to know if you have a person that you're most interested in.
I don't really research true crime things, but I there are certain cases that I find interesting, like the Fred and Rose West case in the UK, and also the Japanese cannibal who ate his girlfriend when he was ate his Dutch girlfriend when they were both studying at the Sorbonne.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and then they did that Vice documentary about him, which was really excellent.
He was meant to be in jail, and then because his dad works for Mazda or one of the big Japanese car companies, he gets them transferred to Japan, and then he's supposed to be in an asylum, and then they release him, and now he's a celebrity, so...
Wow, he's famous.
But what doesn't show you love somebody?
He wrote a cooking book.
Yeah.
He did?
Oh, yeah. And there's comic books and stuff based on his life, and then he did this thing where he was having sex with a porn star for 3 days for this reality television show where a guy hangs out with a porn star for 3 days, and in the end, they told her who he was, and she started crying and stuff, and because it's like Japanese television, they're all like, oh! They just love it, and they think it's hilarious.
Different kind of humor. Different kind of
Very
humor.
Similar to ours.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. All right. Well, I think, is there any other questions, Henry?
This is great. I like seeing the inside world of this, because I know, like, a lot of times people get, like, all weird about Human Centipede films. But I think they understand it's, like, they have references, and they are made by people that are not a bunch of maniacs. It's, like, it's artists at work that are trying something.
Yeah. I mean, the first time I met Tom and, you know, seeing the references to Saulo and 70s policiers in Human Centipede 1, mm-hmm. and just talking to him, he's so widely read and sort of knows a wide range of cinema. And, you know, the same with James on Frankenstein Created Bikers. And, you know, these are interesting films made by people that are interesting and are committed to making art, you know.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Well, it may be gross, offensive and disgusting art, but
yeah,
it's rock and roll, man.
Hey, that's fun.
Exactly. I'm just hungry for that poop.
Yeah, I'm gonna go get
Nutella and almonds and all that.
Yeah, I just want to get a big tube of Nutella and choke on it at the airport.
Yeah, maybe you could get into that business. The Martin sells poop sticks.
Don't do that.
That
man.
Would be amazing. Martin's poop sticks.
Don't start shilling it out, man. Stay pure.
It's just Nutella and nuts. Anyway, thank you so much for being here, Lawrence. We really appreciate it. And amazing work. Thanks for being such an incredible actor and willing to take the risks that you did in Human Centipede 2 and 3.
Thank you.
And you're definitely the modern-day Peter Lorre. That's right on the money. Yeah, again, thank you, man. Hail Satan. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Lawrence.
Okay. Thanks. Okay.
Bye. Bye.